always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Thursday, we'll call it late afternoon, your time there, Kobe, by Kobe Price of the California Post. How are you holding up, bud? Like, you know, we're here on we have reached late July. We are staring at the driest season in our collective calendars. Are you ready for vacation?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm ready for vacation or vacation is ready for me. Look, I got one lined up, and look, I'm going back to see my family next week. I'm going to be, I guess, not out of the country. I'm taking a nice vacation, family vacation, in about 2 weeks, so I'm ready. Now, the NBA calendar is, you say it's the driest. This is not that dry. Like, this is kind of like one of the busiest late Julys, at least I've experienced as a beat writer. And maybe since I've started doing this, like, this is usually by late July, like, it's the next thing we're looking forward to is like, the schedule.
I mean, more that, like, we are. Like this, yeah, it's relatively busy. Although it kind of feels busier than it is because everybody's just like looking at LeBron, like, you know,
yeah, that's true.
But like, you know, after LeBron's decision and after the flurry of moves that have been waiting for LeBron's decision, I do think that, like, yeah, hopefully in a couple of weeks here or so, you'll be good to go on vacation. I have a vacation. In less than a week, we're going to go back to California to see my family out there.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, I don't want to pack my shit. Like, I don't want to pack my mic. I don't want to pack any of my stuff. I don't want to pack my laptop. I just want to go home and eat some Del Taco and beautiful. Eat a Pepe's breakfast burrito and go put my feet in the ocean that is actually ocean, not like the Gulf that we have out here in Texas. I want to go home and not have to ever think about Jonathan Kuminga until I watch him play on a basketball court, whichever basketball court it is that I would have eventually watch him on.
You said this is next week. This vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know. That's what I'm about to say. I'm sorry. I don't feel good for you. I don't even feel great for myself. I don't even feel great for myself, to be honest. But I don't feel that good for you. I can't. I'm sorry. Yeah. I hope you have a little extra room in your suitcase. I'm not even going to hold you.
We'll see. Just get ready, everybody. It's going to be a bunch of ear pod podcast episodes. It's going to sound like shit. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Jonathan Kuminga. We'll be talking about the Lakers' search for another big. I'm going to ask Kobe about the level of comfort that he thinks the Lakers feel about their current power forward situation. And then whatever else comes up over the course of the show, if you guys have any questions for us, hit us with them in the chat. Make sure you guys are hitting that like button, turn on notifications for the show, subscribe to the show, all that good stuff. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. But I truly do not care where you get them. And then today's show is brought to you in video form here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and place a winning lineup worth $5, and you get $150 of Prize Picks lineups just like that, just right away. Yeah, let's go ahead and dive on into this, Kobe. You've done a lot of great reporting there for the California Report, the California Post, about this Jonathan Kuminga situation and about the Lakers offseason to this point and where we think it might be heading from here on out. One, great work on that reporting, first and foremost. But also, I guess the question I have most frequently about this situation is like, who needs whom more? Like, does Jonathan Kuminga need the Lakers more than the Lakers need Jonathan Kuminga? Because typically speaking, if Rob Pelinka feels like it, he needs that player less than that player needs him, that player isn't typically granted the red carpet treatment and granted the kind of offer that they're kind of looking for. So from your vantage point, and given the amount of attention that has been devoted to this situation, who do you think needs whom more here?
You know, that's the first time that that question has really been posed to me. So I'm actually taking a moment to think about it.
Yeah, I guess I could be professional and like ask you that like before we.
I'm actually glad you asked the way that you did, because the good audience is getting a true, genuine live reaction. Oh man. I mean, I think I'm gonna say the Lakers probably need Kuminga more than Kuminga needs the Lakers. And the rationale, like literally like in real time, live time, why I would say that is because even if it's not the contract, I mean, I still don't know if, and we'll see. Like, this is very much a we'll see. We'll see about the LeBron decision and how it's going to impact Kuminga. But I'd feel like Jonathan Kuminga is going to be on an NBA roster next season. And whether it's with the Lakers, the Cavaliers, wherever he ends up, that could very well likely be a platform for him to get if it's with the Lakers. Maybe not. Maybe a more lucrative contract beyond that, or more lucrative or a bigger role, whatever it may be. Like, Jonathan Kuminga's trajectory, if he plays this season correctly, should be upward, right?
Yeah.
If
he's at kind of rock bottom right now, right? Like, for the way that this offseason could have played out, this has gone about as poorly as it could. If you're like sitting here hoping that LeBron signs in Miami so that you can go and be a backup in Cleveland, the offseason hasn't gone well, you know?
Yeah, the offseason's not gone, or at least how he would hope. Now, if you're the Lakers, because this comes back to, like, what are their best options for a starting, specifically like the starting four spot, like a starting four wing forward. And when you start going through the backup options, which I was doing earlier today before we joined on, it gets like really bleak really quickly. It's not I mean, it's not a great option. I mean, I was going through it, like, I know PJ Washington is a name that, you know, I reported on, I think others have reported on, just like I've been told that's just not the contract, with 4 years, I think around 89 million. That's just not something that Lakers have a big appetite for. Fully guaranteed deal.
They also don't have the stuff to trade for him.
Like, yeah, and
I don't think Dallas goes for anything that the Lakers could offer there.
So that's PJ Washington. Then you have Cameron Carr. He's on the team already, so they don't need to trade for him. Cam Johnson.
Grow. Like, he
I mean, yeah, what's he? What is he? Is he 20, 21?
23. I think he's about 21, done. Yeah. I think he's probably done growing.
Maybe not. Hey, these guys apparently grow till they're 25. They apparently do. No, like Cameron Johnson, I know the latest reporting from Hoops Hype, and, you know, I've heard this myself, but the Nuggets have told teams they're good. Like, they're looking to keep Cam Johnson going to next season. At least that's what's been put out there from their end. So another potential starting wing forward that's just not available. Then you get into, okay, other free agency options. Like, I looked at them. It's not appealing. Other trade options, the best potential ones, and these haven't even been like linked to Lakers. I don't know if the Lakers are truly interested in these players right now. I know they had previous interest in DeAndre Hunter before he was traded to the Kings. Mm-hmm. He's on an expiring deal entering the season. And then Kyle Kuzma, who's also on an expiring deal with the Bucks entering the season. The funny part is both those guys are on the final year of a 4-year, $90 million contract. I just find that kind of funny, just because, like, was that just the thing? Like, let's get these, like, fringe starting level guys on, like, 4-year, 90. Like, that was just the number.
Yeah. Are you 6'8"? Can you knock down a 3? Here's 4 years, $90 million. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, outside of like those, to me are like, if they're trying to externally fill that spot, and I think that should be the approach, like those are really, to me, like the best options, unless there's another option that shows itself after LeBron makes a decision that's not clear and apparent right now. But that's why, at least to me, like Kuminga, the Lakers kind of need, if they're really trying to fill that spot, I think they kind of need him more than they need him. Now they could obviously, they could start Jake, they could start Mamu, they could, you know, they've added a variety of players who could be a starter, you know, starting wing, starting four for them going to the next season. But to add depth to this roster, to add a little bit more athleticism, like I think Kuminga, like he makes a lot of sense for this roster. And that's why, fun question. Got me thinking.
I was going to ask you though, like, you know, you mentioned Mamu, you mentioned Jake. The Lakers signed Zaire Williams. They've added Matisse Thybulle. They still have Jared Vanderbilt. Adu Thiro looked really good there in Vegas. Like, is there a world where their starting power forward next season is on the roster right now?
Yeah, there's a world. I mean, if they don't add any of the additions, really, or any of the guys. I thought you were going to go in a different direction with that question, but there's a world in which they start, like Jake LaRavia can be a could be the starter, and you kind of filter in like the rotation, like you do still have you have like Mamu as the backup four, backup five, and maybe even depending on certain matchups, you may start Mamu. I get the feeling, that they would probably want just like a more secure, like, these are our starters regardless of matchup. Like, that's kind of how it's going. Like, this is just our starting unit. Five.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a world in which they go into the next season with maybe they have the backup big, and then they just say, all right, this is our – so they have a couple backup bigs. They have Mamu, and their starting four is either Mamu or Jake or whoever else. But that's just, again, and then they go into the trade deadline or they go into next offseason really looking to secure – that position, because the other interesting part about this offseason, at least, and this was a priority, they've secured three starting spots for this season, next season, and like as far out as you can think when you're talking about a Luka-led team, right? You have three starting spots secured, and you may even have a fourth one with Grimes, not just for this season, but even beyond. But if they don't fill that starting four, starting wing position between now and October, or it's going to be a constant search for that. And I think that's part of the reason why, it's on the docket, but why they've continued to stay in touch with Jonathan Kuminga, even as recent as this week. Just because, I mean, there aren't, again, you look, kind of look through the options of he brings, like you look at the options, you also look at what they've done this offseason. They've gotten younger. They're trying to get more athletic. They're trying to just, you know, bolster the team in like a Luka-led vision. Or with obviously a Luka in mind, like around the vision of building around Luka, like Kuminga,
he's not Luka led too. Like, you know, he's been pretty active in some of these.
He has been pretty active.
Choices and roster decisions. Yeah,
yes, but like not a perfect player, but Kuminga does fit like qualities. He has a lot of qualities, I'll say, that you would want for that spot.
Yeah, yeah, he checks a lot of boxes, right? Like you said, he would immediately be the best athlete probably on the team as soon as he walks through the door.
Him and Adu. Him and Adu and Cam McCarty in dunk contests would be fun.
It would be better than the NBA contest. But he is younger, right? 23, 24 years old, can space the floor a little bit, provides that like baseline lob threat that Luka likes to throw, right? With, if there's just a little too much attention paid to the actual roller in a pick and roll spot, he does like to throw that lob on the backside to the wing crashing from the baseline there. It makes a lot of sense that the Lakers are as interested in him as they have been. I guess it's worth kind of rehashing where things kind of stand, like with that situation. So basically, the only way that Kuminga can get paid more than the minimum if he goes to the Lakers is if Atlanta participates in a sign and trade. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, however, is up against both the luxury tax, which they consider a hard cap, and a at least historically, and they are already at 17 players on their roster, which is two more that they can then they can go into a season with. And then the Lakers also are above the max number of roster spots that they can give out going into the season. They currently sit at 16. So they would probably prefer to make it a 2-for-1 trade with a team that doesn't want to add more players to their roster and doesn't want to add a whole bunch of money to their books because, again, they're up against that luxury tax. So, like, I don't really see very many paths outside of LeBron not going to Cleveland and Cleveland offering Kuminga one of their exceptions to Kuminga getting paid much more than the minimum. Like, do I have that wrong? Is there anything in that little summary that you're hearing differently from what I've heard and what you've reported and all of the stories that, you know, kind of amalgamate into that last like 3-minute spiel?
I mean, in terms of getting Kuminga to the Lakers, I mean, yeah, I was actually just talking about this recently on a different show, but it's not – the question I was asked was, has getting Kuminga become too complicated? I was like, it's not too complicated, but yeah. It's become more complicated compared to first reporting the story 2 weeks ago when the Lakers didn't have, you know, 16 players already signed and the Hawks at the time didn't have 17 guys. Like, it's only become more complicated, but there's still ways to open up both the roster, because at least for the Lakers, you're less concerned about the apron space, because even with Kuminga's new deal, you're going to send out more than likely, not more than likely, you're definitely going to have to send out enough in salary via trades, especially if it's two players, let alone potentially three in separate deals, where you're going to open up the space below the first apron, which is what they're hard capped at. But to me, like the framework in which it could work, and this would be, you know, this is all theory. This is just for people who listen to the show. I kind of like, just like, you ever see like the eyeball games?
It's always funny when somebody like goes through their first like aggregation cycle and you're like, just do not take this seriously. For the love of God, Legion Hoops, pretend I'm not talking right now.
It's like there's like an eyeball like right here looking at me. He's like, what are you about to say? And the ear's like, no, the theory is, and again, I wrote the story, spoke about it on the radio, wrote the story. Like, there's a real world in which Bronny James is on this roster. Like, it's not just, you know, he's going to go or the Lakers are going to trade him to wherever LeBron goes. And this is why even.
Or they're going to waive him. Like,
they're going to waive him. Yeah,
absolutely not going to waive him. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Like, I wrote it and I'll stand by it. Like, Bronny has fans in the building. They've developed him over the last couple of years. He was at the veterans camp in Vegas during summer league. Does that mean everything? Of course, like things change, obviously. However, like that's the Lakers' interest. I know Dan Wakey from The Athletic also reported it. I think he was the first report. Just like it's not a guarantee. Like LeBron and Bronny no longer tied. I say all this to say, like, there's the caveat, Legion. There's the caveat, Central. There's the caveat.
Although Sintel, you know what? Have some fun.
Sintel, have fun. All that being the case, if there is also a world in which the team that acquires or that LeBron signs with, if they have the space or if they have the desire, they could look at Bronny and say, hey, we just signed the marquee free agent, the marquee player of the league. Like, they have a conversation with LeBron, like, would you be interested in having, you know, if we can do it, would you be interested? And maybe they potentially trade for Bronny. And again, it would take, I wrote it, or something real and tangible for the Lakers to be like, okay, we'll trade Bronny to whatever team. Like, they would have to, it had to be an actual trade and not just, oh yeah, they're dumping Bronny on LeBron's new team. But that's one where you open a roster spot and potentially get a, let's just say, again, Central Legion. It's like they're right here. you potentially get a second round pick out of that. Yeah. And then you can use that pick in the sign and trade, a multi-team sign and trade with for Kuminga, and where you're sending out potentially, you know, two or three of Jaden Hardy, Dalton Connect, potentially even Jared Vanderbilt. Like, they have at that point right now, what, they have 3 second-round picks and a pick swap. If you're able to get an additional second and you're able to satisfy Atlanta and a potential third team, like, that's, to me, is the framework, just workshopping with people. Like, that's kind of how it has to look. It doesn't – that's not the only way it can look. There are other avenues that don't – like that involve Bronny staying on the team. Maybe you have to use basically all the draft capital with all the second-round picks and the pick swap and, again, rerouting them to multiple teams to satisfy everybody. And then Atlanta would have to send guys out as well. Or you maybe just satisfy Atlanta enough to where they feel comfortable waiving a player. Or the third team is comfortable waiving the players they receive. So it's not impossible. It just becomes more complicated just from the standpoint of, even with most teams kind of like eyeing this LeBron situation before they finalize their rosters, a lot of teams have made moves. Like, a lot of teams are, like, pretty, including the Lakers, like, they're pretty comfortable with their rosters. And it's just, at this point, when it's late July, like, it just becomes more challenging to make 3 or potentially 4 team deals where, you know, two of them being the Lakers and the Hawks, are over capacity and are, like, active. And actually, and that's also something that other teams will use as leverage to extract another pick. So, all that to say, I forget even how you framed the question, but yes, there are multiple avenues. They just have to get creative.
Yeah. I guess the reason I ask is because, like, just kind of going through all the scenarios and stuff, and you're right, like, there are complicated ways, or I guess now more complicated ways to get Kuminga paid more than the minimum. But he might be looking at a situation here where that becomes, especially if he wants to be a Laker, that might be the, you know, one of the more likely outcomes to this. So, you know, that would be interesting to see take place.